you later.
Hey Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. This week, we are in the brand new 65 TPT studio. We're so happy to have an incredible set to bring you great Chiefs programming year-round. Besides this new studio, though, there's a lot going on in the Chiefs kingdom, and we're here to cover it all. So let's check it out. Coming up, we head to the training room and sit down with Chiefs head athletic trainer, Rick Burkholder.
Our primary concern is the players' health and safety, and we do the best we can to get them safely out there.
Then we catch up with Chiefs tight end Anthony Fasano.
I think we're way ahead of where I thought we would be. There's a lot of emotion and spirit, so I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
And then we hear from the snapper, Kendall Gammon.
Because I can remember in college coming here for one game my senior year, and I remember audibly telling myself, I'm going to play here someday.
As a part of the Kansas City community, the Chiefs strive to give back in many ways throughout the kingdom all year round. In this week's Access Arrowhead presented by Prime Sport, the Chiefs Community Caring Team headed to St. John Francis Regis School to host a Play 60 clinic for 100 Special Olympians from the area.
Don't come over here if you don't want to have fun, because we're having fun over here, all right?
Yeah, what's up, man? Down,
sit. Hey. Going.
Okay. Excellent.
Hey.
Excellent job.
Good job. Go, good job, guys.
Special Olympics Kansas and Special Olympics Missouri were invited by the Chiefs and the NFL Play 60 program to participate in an hour clinic put on by seven Chiefs players, and it was a great opportunity for our athletes to get a chance to learn some football skills for some very talented players, and then hopefully they would use some of those skills they learned out here in training for their particular sport, whatever sport they're playing at the time.
Yeah, sit, cut.
Yeah, today was the Play 60 initiative that we have with the NFL, and so we were able to come out and kind of put everybody through a variety of drills. You know, Dustin and I kind of were in charge of the punt, pass, and kick section, which was fun. We had a lot of fun with that. The quarterbacks were putting them through some quarterback drills, some running through the cones, you know, just kind of encouraging exercise, getting outside, you know, getting that 60 minutes of exercise that's so important every day.
It is a dream for a lot of them to be able to come out and show off some of the skills they have in front of the athletes, and then also to learn from athletes that are playing the sport at the highest level.
You could just tell that everybody involved just was having so much fun. And that was kind of neat to be a part of, because you see the joy that it brings to them. And that kind of internally makes you have a little bit of joy when you see them having the fun. And we had kids that were, you know, making field goals, you know, putting them through the uprights and punting the ball really far and throwing it really well. And, you know, they get excited about that. So it's easy for us to get excited about it as well.
I think the players genuinely had a good time and enjoyed themselves. We don't get an opportunity to do this very often, but the ones we do, you can tell when they're genuinely having a good time, and it was easy to tell that these players were enjoying themselves. They were going above and beyond. It was easy to see that I think all the players from the Chiefs had a great time.
This offseason, the Chiefs have made a number of free agent acquisitions, including several weapons for the Chiefs' offense. One of those players was tight end Anthony Fasano.
Flips it, corner of the end zone, wide open, touchdown Fasano!
Oh my goodness!
Fasano!
Tannehill throws it easily to Fasano, touchdown Miami.
I'm with Chiefs tight end Anthony Fasano. Now Anthony, you are new to Kansas City. Welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
How have you been settling in?
Great. It's been a great transition. It's been easy. The Chiefs organization is great, helping players get settled, and everybody's super nice and accommodating here.
Now, what is it that drew you to Kansas City?
I think it's a storied program. You know, it's a bunch of tradition here. You know, I saw, you know, Coach Reed coming here with a a bunch of winning pieces, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Now, there's a lot of new additions like yourself and coaching staff as well. How do you think the team is gelling and working together?
It's been great so far. I think we're way ahead of where I thought we would be. There's a lot of emotion and spirit, so I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
What has it been like working with Coach Reed?
It's great. It's unbelievable, you know, what you hear, how of a good football mind he is, but the detail he goes into installing the offense and every player and every position, it's encouraging.
Now, another new addition is Alex Smith. Tell me a little bit about working with him.
It's been great since day one. You know, his leadership is proven, and he's bringing it here, you know, quickly. He's great in a huddle, and, you know, he's a fast learner.
What do you think about your position mate, Tony Moyaki?
It's been great. We've developed a great relationship so far. Looking forward to getting on the field with him when he's healthy.
Now, Tom Melvin is your position coach. What has it been like working with him?
He's great as well. You know, he's had some great tight ends in Philadelphia. He knows a lot about the position, and I'm going to learn a lot from him.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we catch up with former Chiefs long snapper Kendall Gammon.
For 15 years, I stood on the sideline, watched the game, and talked. So now I just get paid less to do it. For me, still being involved in that with the Kansas City Chiefs is special.
And then we head to the training room and chat with Chiefs head athletic trainer Rick Burkholder.
You know, anybody who's worked in this business that tells you that it's not fun on Sundays, they're lying to you. It's everything anybody can imagine being on that sideline and taking care of these guys.
All right, it's time to take a break, but first, let's see how much you know about your Chiefs. What nickname did Chiefs linebacker and Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Lanier go by? A. Smack Daddy, B. The Punisher, C. Contact, or D. The L Train? When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it.
Eric Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, what nickname did Chiefs linebacker and Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Lanier go by? The answer is C, Contact. Clearly, Lanier was known for hitting opposing players. Thus, his nickname was Contact. But he was also known by his teammates, affectionately, as Honey Bear. Welcome back to Red and Gold. In 1992, long snapper Kendall Gammon was drafted out of Pittsburgh State to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then, after another stop with the New Orleans Saints, Kendall finally made his way back to his home state and finished his career with Kansas City. Kendall spent a total of 15 years in the league and is still a part of the Chiefs family as a sideline voice of the Chiefs Radio Network and a co-host of Chiefs Live. But that's not all Kendall does. He also spent some time in the circus and on the landscape business right here in Kansas City. It's hard for most people to juggle all of these amazing talents, but for Kendall, it's a snap.
You know, I grew up in Malvern, Kansas up to fourth grade, and then my father decided he wanted to farm, and we moved over to Rosehill, Kansas, and that's where I went, spent fifth grade through high school. And I was called to do a lot from a young age, be it making meals to, you know, washing dishes, and those sounds like just normal things, but if you're doing those at 8, 9, 10 years old, not everybody does that. You know, then I went to Pittsburgh State University, a small Division II school. At the time, I went there as a tight end. Ate my way into offensive line, gained about 40 pounds my first semester. You know when your mother's letting you know that, you know, you're getting a little bit chunky. You know if mom's telling you that, then you really got an issue going on. But I went on to play 4 years there. Started 43 games, my last 43 games at offensive guard my senior year. We won the national championship, Division II, my senior year. So it was phenomenal. I met my wife, the only girl I ever dated in college there. And really a storybook career for me. You know, my dad's attitude in terms of doing what he did and how hard he worked, I think that really stuck with me. He is definitely the hero in my life. Some of the things that went on my freshman year, I would have had a hard time dealing with had that not been instilled in me. After that freshman year, the first semester, I went down to visit my parents, and we had a great time. And sometimes you wonder if things happen for a reason, because I had a great time. My mom and I didn't get along the greatest, really, and that's probably an understatement, but we got along great down there, and my dad, and had a wonderful time. And then the day that I was coming back, my mother was having trouble with stuff. And when I got home, I got a call a day, two or later from either my brother or my sister that she had terminal lung cancer. And basically, that was on January 2nd or 3rd. And then basically, about a month later, she died. So it crept right up. And so, you know, to lose your mom and to lose her your freshman year, and then watch your dad go through things. I always use this, it is what it is. You deal with what happens to you in life. God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is what it is, like I said. And that was really not an eye-opener, because I think I was very open to the world and what was going on, but it definitely set you into reality pretty quick. Just like anybody, I think a lot of kids, you have a dream to play a pro sport, but let's be honest, the percentages are very, very slim. But I was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 11th round. I was the 291st person taken, so right off the bat, feeling pretty good about myself. Myron Cope, the late Myron Cope, the great broadcaster of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was famous for getting the last couple picks sometimes. It was explained to me that, in essence, I was Myron's pick in the 11th round. Because the year before, they had missed having a chance to go to the playoffs because they'd had some bad snaps. Won the division, I think, 3 out of the 4 years I was there. Played in the AFC Championship game twice and went to the Super Bowl and played in Super Bowl 30. You know, then going into that fifth year, they decided they wanted to go a different direction. That next morning, I was on a plane to New Orleans. Spent 3 years playing under Coach Ditka. And then I was a free agent. I was signed by the Chiefs and played here 7 years. 7 wonderful years. To come back home after 8 years in the NFL, you've got your 2 kids, and now they're around the grandparents, they're close, and you're around college friends again. It's your hometown team. I mean, it couldn't be any better. Just a wonderful experience.
It's a short, fluttering kick, but it's enough. It's good. Morton Anderson gives the Chiefs a 27-24 advantage.
Arrowhead is a special, different place. I thought that when I played here as a Steeler or as a Saint, and then being here on the other end of it as a Chief was just unbelievable. Because I can remember in college coming here for one game my senior year, and I can remember walking around Arrowhead before they had the gates open. And I remember audibly telling myself, I'm going to play here someday. I don't think I could put into words how important it was for me to finish my career as a Chief. It's a dream come true. When I got into the NFL, I knew this was going to be the best temporary job I could ever have. I was looking for a way out before it was time to leave. And it's not that I wanted out, but I knew it was going to end. And I was just renting that seat. I'm a silent partner for Paradise Nursery. It's a wholesale retail nursery in the Northland of Kansas City. We're in the Liberty area. I'm the director of major gifts for intercollegiate athletics for Pittsburgh State University. You know, I'm charged with the job of raising funds for facilities and scholarships. And that's really near and dear to my heart, because coming out of high school, if I didn't have a scholarship and if I wasn't able to go to college that has good facilities, I don't know what would have become of me. You know, going along with that, my focus here in KC is I'm part of the Kretcher Heartland team, a commercial property and casualty and employee benefits brokerage firm which has been in the KC area for almost 40 years. Their professionalism in both the risk management and benefits side, along with their motto of say what you do and do what you say, spoke volumes to me. It really was an easy decision when it came time for life after football. I am an author. I've written 2 books. I just became infatuated with writing and like speaking. I tried to bring a little bit of that in. It was just my way of getting back and putting my thoughts down, some things that I think were important. It's been received really, really well, and it was a fun endeavor. It was a very detailed endeavor and very difficult at times, but something I'm very proud of. Besides my books, I am an accomplished juggler as well, and people kind of laugh about that, but I can juggle 5 objects and have a conversation with you. Used to be able to juggle 7, would have to practice a little bit more. Juggle clubs, I've juggled machetes, I've juggled fire. I've been fortunate enough, I've juggled a center ring for Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey Circus, twice. And then I guess the final thing, which I probably derive the most pleasure out of, is still being involved in the game, and that's I'm the sideline voice for 101 The Fox. And, you know, being involved with Mitch and Len and Dan Israel and just everyone there at Cumulus KC and the Kansas City Chiefs, the partnership, that's a special thing. That's a great thing. And just to be on the sideline, I feel like I lend a unique perspective. My joke about the fact that I had the best internship I could ever have for the radio gig, because for 15 years I stood on the sideline, watched the game, and talked. So now I just get paid less to do it. For me, still being involved in that with the Kansas City Chiefs is special.
Coming up, we take you behind the scenes with the Chiefs training staff and give you a glimpse into the world of these unsung heroes.
Our primary concern is the players' health and safety, and we do the best we can to get them safely out there.
Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit goarrowhead.com for more information. Welcome back to Red and Gold. After 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles, Rick Burkholder has established himself as one of the top athletic trainers in the league. And now he's brought his expertise right here to Kansas City to help keep players on the field performing their best.
My name is Rick Burkholder. I'm the head athletic trainer for the Kansas City Chiefs. First and foremost, I have to manage our medical team. So that includes all the doctors, all the specialists that work with us, massage therapists, chiropractors, and then my group of athletic trainers to make sure that we allow our players to have the best medical care throughout Kansas City. Our primary concern is the players' health and safety and well-being. There's a lot of direct one-on-one communication, a lot of hands-on work here. We try to keep everything in-house. And then, of course, I have to communicate with the coaches so that they know what status their players are at, whether they can practice, whether they can't practice, whether they're going to be in the building. And so there's a good bit of communication and one-on-one time. It's very exciting to be here with Coach Reed. I know his system, he knows my system, and basically that's how we've made our successes, through systems. It's interesting to bring it to another city and another facility because it's the same system with different personalities, and it's so exciting to do it again. I look back on the 14 years we had together, and those first couple years where we built our team up in Philadelphia was very gratifying, and then we got into all those championship game runs, which was fun, and it's exciting to be able to think that we can do that here, and I think Coach Reed's confident we can do it here. I know I'm confident we can do it here, and so it's a great challenge, but it's fun, and these players are receptive right now. They're what a great group of guys to be with right now, and I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about it. Game day is the best day, but really we make our money in here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We think that we have a pretty good idea whether they're going to be functional and playable by Thursday, and we can let the coaches know that so they're able to game plan as the week goes on and players are able to practice. You know, Coach Reed's he's a guy who believes that you need to practice to play in the games. So that puts a lot of pressure on our staff, but that's okay. We're on the same page and the players understand it, and we do the best we can to get them safely out there. It sounds like it's a lot. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's a blast. You know, anybody who's worked in this business that tells you that it's not fun on Sundays, they're lying to you. It's everything anybody can imagine being on that sideline and taking care of these guys.
We'll be right back, but first, let's see how well you know Kansas City. What's the largest park in Kansas City? A, Swope Park. B, Blue Ridge Park. C, West Terrace Park. D, Riverfront Park. Don't go anywhere. We'll find out if you're right when we come back. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not gonna catch it. Eric Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, what's the largest park in Kansas City? The answer is A. Swope Park is the nation's largest urban park at 1,805 acres, which is more than twice the size of New York City's 843-acre Central Park. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold, and thanks for hanging out with us all season. To keep up with Chiefs coverage, visit kcchiefs.com or follow me on Twitter at kcchiefs_Rachel. To keep up with the Chiefs 24/7, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Prizes are given away all the time, and we keep you in the know of all things Chiefs. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Power trap.